better.
Amen.
If we didn't know that he loved us.
Go ahead and let our kids.
Let me tell you something. The devil can't beat up on you if you realize Jesus loves you.
But if you don't understand that.
Amen. God bless
you. If you don't believe that.
Amen.
Amen. First of all, it's an insult to God.
Class tonight.
I can think of nothing worse.
Then all of us more than conquerors. Amen. We're going to stay right here.
Turning in the Bible tonight to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 through verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 through verse 3. And the scripture said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight about God's final word. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word. It all started with the Word. Amen. That's how it all started, was with the Word. How much tonight does one word from God mean? What is one word from God worth to you? There are people today that pay hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars for words written on paper by some person that they and other people esteem to be special. Amen. Shakespeare, if you can get something written by Shakespeare, it's worth a lot of money. You can get an autograph of Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, it's worth a lot of money. If you can just get something signed by people, and even today, I guess, there are the celebrities of our age, and if you get something signed by one of them, it means something to somebody. But I'm asking the church tonight, what is God's word worth to you and me? What is the value of a word from God? You know, I've been in services when I came so troubled and hard and just a little discouraged and a little depressed, fighting a battle. Amen. But somewhere in that service, a word from God touched my spirit. Amen. And it turned my life around. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't, you know, preachers say a lot of stuff. We do. I know that. I know we're verbose. We say a lot of stuff. Amen. But somewhere in all of it, a word of the Lord can touch your spirit. And what's interesting is in the same service, you may receive something different from the same sermon than somebody else received. I thought it was interesting when our young people were testifying about youth camp and the services, and one would say, oh, such and such night, boy, that message, now that was the best one. That, and then the other one said, well, that wasn't, I thought it was, and they gave a totally different thing. Because God has a way of speaking to us in a personal way. And when God speaks, you know it. You know it. Amen. And so God has spoken down through the ages. Matter of fact, this earth that you and I live on and walk on, it literally exists because of a word from God. One day God looked out in the expanse of emptiness and he said, let there be, and suddenly there was a terra firma. Amen. And then God began to build this universe with his word. Amen. Praise God. And so there's nothing more powerful than the word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, it's awfully powerful when you can just say something and it appears. I know there's people that have servants and employees and they say, do this, and somebody does that. But when you can just say, let there be a tree, and there's never been a tree in all of history, and all of a sudden the planet is covered with them. And when you can speak in the darkness and say, let there be light, and suddenly the light pierces the darkness and stars stud the blackness of the midnight, and the moon and the sun come into their orbits and their place, and this whole planet lights up. That's great power. God spake worlds into existence. Amen. That's how powerful the Word of God is. He called Israel together one time at Mount Sinai, and he was going to give them some instructions. But he gave them a warning first. He said, now you get some fences up there. He said, don't let anybody get too close. Because when I start speaking, he said, if they get too close, they'll die. Amen. And so they did that, and when God started speaking, the mountains trembled, and they felt the earth begin to move, and there was smoke and fire, and they told Moses a little later, they said, next time God wants to say something, just have him to tell you, and then you tell us. They don't want to hear from God anymore. That's enough, Moses. But you know what happens? The thing is a lot of times whenever God tells us to tell you, you say, well, how do I know that was God? Amen. And sometimes I agree with you. Because I've heard people say, the Lord said, and I don't believe he said. And so the Bible says that God spake at sundry times. What in the world does the word sundry mean? It's a word that means many different portions and parts. When we look at the Old Testament, if you've noticed in your Bible, the Old Testament's a lot longer than the New Testament. I just finished the Old Testament last week. My Bible reading, getting ready to start a new, or have started a New Testament now. It takes a long time to read through the Old Testament. And so God spoke in many places. You know, the Old Testament is very interesting because it started in emptiness when God created. And then it goes all the way down in many places. There was the Garden of Eden. And then, of course, there was the ancient cultures and societies, and then there's Israel, and then there's Egypt, and then there's Babylon, and there's Assyria, and all of these different places. God spake many times and in many places. And each of those represents a portion of the Word of God. So, God spoke not just in many times, but He spake in many different ways. And what He's talking about here, of course, are the prophets of the Old Testament. And there are many prophets. Now we have the book of prophets beginning. Of course, they're kind of listed there in an order as far as what we consider to be the prophets, beginning there in Isaiah and going all the way through to the book of Malachi. And we call those the prophets, and we say the major prophets and the minor prophets. What's the difference in a major prophet and a minor prophet? Well, the major prophet just wrote more. Amen. A minor prophet doesn't mean he's any less important. He still heard from God, and his words are just as important. He just didn't take up as much time and space. And so historians and theologians say, well, that's a major prophet or a minor prophet. Amen. And then there are prophets that didn't write anything. We have their words written by someone else, but they're prophets nonetheless. God used many prophets to speak His word. Amen. And then He spake in many ways. You know, some of the prophets, they did some weird stuff. Not only did they speak, but sometimes they did weird things to get people's attention. I won't even mention some of the things they did. You need to read it for yourself. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. But they did some weird things to get people's attention. Amen. He's a one prophet, and I'll just mention one that's not too out there. He said, I want you to marry a prostitute and have children by her. Let her break your heart. Tear your life to pieces. And he did. And she did. And he said, Israel, this is what you've been doing to me. You're married to me and you're running around with everybody else. And so he said, that's what it's like being a God married to Israel. And so he spake many different ways to many different people. Man, God has spoken down through time many, many different ways. Amen. The message can be limited and is limited by who speaks the message. You know, God never exceeds our capabilities. If you've ever noticed, when there's a message in tongues interpretation, whoever gives it, it sounds like them. Is that not right? God doesn't use a 3-year-old to get up and deliver an oration that would be given by a college professor. He never does that. He didn't do it in Scripture. Isaiah was a very brilliant, educated man, and his writing reflects that. Amos was a fig picker. So his words are a little different. God uses people as they are. Yes, He does. That's all right, isn't it? God uses you as you are, and that's good enough. Amen. Praise God. He just uses us. And it's a wonderful thing when God can use somebody, and He does do that. So the word of the Lord, He limited His word in times past to different kinds of vehicles. Now, in the early stages of learning music, the instrument is not as important if it's a little bit limited in quality, because your abilities are limited. But there comes a time that you will outgrow a certain instrument because your capabilities are so much better than that instrument can express. And so you need to upgrade your equipment so your equipment can keep up with your knowledge and your abilities. So there are superior instruments, and we ought to strive, Brother Hart, to be a superior instrument in God's hands. Amen. I've known people that said, well, you know, I don't want to change because then it won't be me. Yes, it'll still be you, but it'll be an improved you. Amen. Well, you know, I've always been this way. Well, that's so well and good. That was the way God found you, but you don't have to stay that way. You can get better. Amen. You can be better. You should be better. Because you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the more you allow yourself to be molded into His image and become His expression, the greater He can use your life. Amen. So, it's a little bit... the message can sometimes be hindered by the one that's trying to express it. I sing it Sunday night. I just can't find the words. You ever been there? Just can't find the words. Amen. We constantly strive and through the years and I've tried my best to add to vocabularies and read and expand my knowledge because I want to be able to express the Lord in a greater way than I could in the beginning. And that's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing. I don't want the word to be any more limited by the vessel than it has to be. Amen. But here's the beauty of it all. In Jesus Christ, there was no limitation. Amen. When Jesus spake, there was no limitation. Praise God. It was God talking. Didn't Isaiah say this? He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He said, Lord, I'm unclean. I need you to cleanse me. And all of us struggle with this flesh, and it limits us. But the Bible said that Jesus had no sin, so it didn't limit him. Praise God. He's so superior to us. And without him, in him, there was no limitation. Jesus didn't just say, I speak the truth. He said, I am the truth. He didn't just say, I know the way. He said, I am the way. He didn't just say, I'm a living man. He said, I am the life. Amen. There's a lot of difference in just being used to express the Word and literally being the Word. Amen. And so that's the difference that the author of Hebrews is trying to express to us here tonight. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, God spake in many and sundry ways and at divers times in the past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us, by say to us, to me. Now he still speaks to the prophets, but he said he's spoken to us in the last days by his Son. Hallelujah. He spake in the old time with flawed men and imperfect people. But he said in the last days, he said he has spoken to us by Son. Actually, there's no definite article there. If you notice in your Bible, when it says his Son, that his is italicized. That means that in the Greek, it's not there. It's there for our comprehension. And to the translators, they thought it needed to be there. And I suppose when I read it this way, he hath spoken these last days unto us by Son. See, that doesn't make as much sense to us, does it? We want to put the his in there. Amen. But the reason that it's written that way grammatically and the is or the his is not there, it is just removing that he's no longer just a vessel to speak. He's not just speaking the words, but he is the Word. Isn't that what he said in the book of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, literally, it's saying He's more than just the Word spoken through a vessel, but He literally is the Word of God. So it's one thing to hear the Word of God. It's another thing to be the Word of God. Amen. And so Jesus Christ is the Word of God. That's why He's superior. And that's why what He says is different than what anybody else has said. He said some things that we can say, but they're not true. Do you remember when Jesus said, I and my Father are one? Now, I can say that, and so can you, but it's not true. He said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, I can say that, and so can you, but it's not true. When you see me, you just see me. Amen. My Father, if you're seeing Him, you're looking in another world. Amen. But Jesus said that because He's God manifest in flesh. Amen. And as a matter of fact, it goes on to describe Him here when it says, who being in the brightness of His glory, and again, notice the word His is italicized, in the brightness of glory, and the express image of His person. And so the express image means that He is, okay, let's, when you print a book, it's printed with, in the old times, actually with a letter. Remember a typewriter? If you hit the W, there was a little W, a metal W that was on an arm, and it would flip up and it'd strike the paper. And it would make a W. And so that was the expression. And it made an imprint. And it would do it over and over again. And every time you hit the W, it would always make a W. It would never make anything else because that's what it was. So if you wanted a W in there and it didn't have a W, it means you hit the wrong key. Because the W would always reproduce a W. And Jesus is not just the printed letter, but He is the W. He's the express image. He is what makes the impression. He's the impression, but He's also what made the impression. That's what the Greek word character means. It means that He is not only the written letter or the letter that is produced, but He is what makes the letter. Amen. So you cannot separate Him from the Father or God. He is God. Amen. He's the image of God, but He is God. He's God that made the image. And you can't separate the two. Amen. So he is God. He is the one that makes the image. That's the one that's speaking here. That's why He's God's final word. Amen. When the prophets spake, I always think of that verse in the book of Isaiah. When Isaiah was carried away, he was writing under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I don't know, I could be wrong about this. Lord forbid, but he's writing, and I just can't help but think he's excited. Because I get excited when the Lord shows me something. And so I think he was excited, and he's writing as fast as his little quill will go. He's dipping an ink. Boy, he's putting it down. and he said, here it comes. And His name shall be called. Woo! I'm fixing to get it. He must have been texting. I'm fixing to. So I'm fixing to get it. And he's writing just as fast as he can. And he's all excited. His name shall be called. And he says, here it is. We've been waiting so long for this. And then it says, wonderful. Huh? And right there. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he writes all these things, and somehow he can't help maybe feel a little frustrated because he thought he was going to get the name. And instead he got these titles. Amen. And so he didn't get it all. Praise the Lord. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10 through 12, it said, "Of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." He said they saw these things. The Spirit of the Lord was upon them. Here he says the Spirit of Christ was upon them. So you see, the Spirit of Christ and Spirit of God and Holy Spirit, they're just equal terms. You can use those terms interchangeably. Peter calls it the Spirit of Christ, even though they didn't know who this Christ was, but the Spirit was upon them. And they preached and they saw and recorded his crucifixion and his rejection and his sufferings and even his resurrection. They wrote these things and about all these different things that were there, and they wrote about them, did they not? And Brother Hart preached Sunday morning about Job seeing the resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Abraham had the gospel preached to him while he was on Mount Moriah sacrificing his son. And he saw God's plan unfold. All through the scripture, they saw these things. But the Bible says that they wrote them and they inquired and they searched all these things. But it wasn't for them. And it wasn't for their generation. And they never really understood all of it. But verse 12 said, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." He says they wrote it, but they never understood it, and they never saw it. But you understand it because Jesus is God's final word. If you're looking for something else, it's not coming. It's not coming. You remember the story of the guy that was in the flood? It's up on top of the house. And a guy comes by in a helicopter. The water's rising. It's up to the eave of the house. And he's sitting on the house. And the helicopter lets down a rope and says, "Son, climb on up the rope. We'll save you." And he says, "That's all right. I'm praying God will save me. Thank you." Helicopter flies away. Some guys come by in a boat. "Sir, you better get in this boat. Look, the water's rising. It's over the eaves of the house now. It's climbing up the roof. You don't have very long. Come on, get in the boat." He says, "I'm praying. God said he'd save me. And thank you very much, but I'm waiting for the Lord to save me." And the boat goes down the river. Helicopter comes back. "Sir." Now he's standing up on the eave of the house. Water's lapping at his feet. "Amen. Hurry, sir. Grab this rope. Come on up here to safety." He said, "I'm still believing God's going to save me." He got swept away in the river. Drowned. Got to heaven. Disappointed and said, "Lord, I thought you were going to save me." He said, "I sent you a boat and two helicopters. What else did you want?" Jesus is the final word. And if he's not enough, there's not going to be anything else. He's the only Savior. There is no other. This is it. He said, "I am he." And except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." He said, "I am the Word. I am the Savior. I'm the final Word. This is it." Did not he say from the cross, his last words, "It is finished. There is no one else. There is nothing else. There's no other Savior. Just one. Jesus. This is it. Amen. There's nothing more, folks. He's God's final word. It's God's final word. Amen. It's like the guy that was falling off the roof and he grabbed onto a little twig and he's holding on for dear life and he's praying. He said, "Lord, if you'll save me, please save me." And the Lord said, "I will. Just turn your life around. You got to give up your drinking and your carousing. Amen. Get in church and take your family and turn your life around. Start paying your tithes, giving offerings." He said, "Anybody else up there?" Let me tell you, there's not anybody else up there. That's it. He's the final word. Amen. Praise. He's God's final word. That's who Jesus is. Amen. So he said in these last days, he's given us his final word. Praise God, his final word. And then he goes on to express a little more about the word. He says, "Whom he hath appointed heir of all things." Now, an heir usually indicates sonship. Most heirs are relatives, right? Amen. And in Bible times, it would indicate that he was the firstborn. He's an heir. He's the heir of God. And the Bible says, we're joint heirs. Hallelujah. Praise God. He got the lion's share, but he's going to share with us. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad he's not stingy? He's willing to share his glory with us. He's willing to share the benefits with us. Amen. He's willing to share his spirit with us. Hallelujah. His grace, his mercy, his love, his peace, his joy. He's willing to share with us. When we get to heaven, he's going to share heaven with us. It's his. He inherited it. But he said, "I'm going to share it. I'm not going to keep it all to myself. I'm going to share it with others." Amen. So if he's appointed an heir, that means he's the owner. It belongs to him. He has dominion there. What he says goes. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. When we get to heaven, you know, it's going to be all about him. We're going to go there because he's there. We're going to get in because we know him. Hallelujah. The mansion that we live in or whatever it is, we're going to live in it because of him. Hallelujah. We're going to be in the light because he's in the light. Glory. We're going to have life because he's the life. It's all about Jesus. And it's all about, he's the final word, folks. He's the final word. Amen. It says, and he made the worlds. It's an interesting word, aeones. There's another word for worlds, cosmos. Cosmos really means more of the population and peoples of the earth and how they're put together in the societies they become. But this word aeons, it's a word that speaks of ages. He said God made the ages and everything that inhabits them. Amen. We really don't have the whole story tonight. We only have what we need to know. Quite honestly, you and I have a very limited arrangement up here. That's not an insult, that's just a fact. We're very limited in our knowledge. You know, for instance, you try to figure out where God come from, you'll blow a fuse. Because everything you know has a beginning, and everything you know has an end. And God is eternal. He had no beginning, he has no end. I don't comprehend that. My mind cannot even conceive that. I've heard all kinds of illustrations, but it doesn't make any difference. I still don't really understand it. You know, I've heard about the little bird that flies by every 1,000 years and touches the earth, and it was a steel ball, and when finally the earth finally melts away from the friction of the little bird's wing, and eternity's just begun. I've heard all those kinds of illustrations. Still don't mean anything to me. I don't understand eternity because I'm a creature of time. I'm very limited in my scope and my understanding. But God's not. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I don't know what else he's got planned. He may have a lot of stuff planned that you and I don't know about right now. But it must be all right. It better be. Because he's God and there's anything you can do about it. I'm just glad he's a good God. Because if it wasn't a good God, it'd still be God. And we'd just be stuck with it. Amen. But he's a good God. Hallelujah. Amen. And his word is final. And Jesus is his final word. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, who being in the brightness of his glory, the brightness of his glory, the effulgence of his glory, the radiance, not just the reflection, but the source. Amen. You see, they say that that the light we see in the moon is the reflection of the sun. That's it's just reflecting. It's not light itself. It reflects the light of the greater, which is the sun. But the sun has light. So Jesus is not just a reflection of God's glory. He is God's glory. He's the source of it all. Then that happened one time, didn't it? Remember they were on the mountain. James and John and Peter were there. And all of a sudden the Bible said his face began to shine with such a brilliance they couldn't stand to look at him. And they fell down and covered their faces because they couldn't stand to see the glory of the Lord as it was reflected through the physical body of Jesus Christ. His deity burst through his humanity and they beheld his glory for just a few moments, the best they could. Well, that's why the Bible, the Lord said, no man's ever seen me and live. We couldn't stand the glory. It would devour us. Moses just spent a few days in his presence. And when he came down, even Moses was glowing. And they had to put something over his head to be able to look at him. Didn't have sunglasses, I guess. So there was just the reflection of God's glory. Isn't it amazing? That Jesus was the glory of God. Burst through for a little bit, amen. And yet he limited himself to become something that we could not become. We can't be saviors because we're sinners. We can't save ourselves. Brother Holly used to say, "You can worship yourself, but you can't save yourself. You can be your own God, but you can't be your own Savior." And he's right. People can worship themselves, and some do. But they can't save themselves. Amen. Some people are their own God. Amen. But they can't be their own Savior. They need something outside of themselves. And even though he was God's glory, he was the glory. And even though he was not just the express image, but he was the image itself. He made the image and he was the image. And even though he was all of that, amen, the Bible says that upholding all things by the word of his power. Woo! He showed us that too, didn't he? He was that one day on the boat with his disciples and the wind was raging everywhere, and he just stood up and he said to the waves, he said, "Be still." And the wind went and calm down. And the waves that were foaming and raging, they just went down and just, okay. Amen. Wow. That was his word. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know what he said to the wine one day. Somebody said that when they brought those 6 pots of water, that when he looked in, that the water saw the reflection of their Creator and they blushed. I don't know what happened, but it became wine. Just at his word. And he held some fish and some biscuits in his hand, and he just broke them, and at his word, they just began to grow. And they fed more than 5,000 men plus their families with just that substance. Talk about the power of his word. Had great power. Amen. He spoke to demons and they fled. He spoke to sickness and that it went away. He spoke to death and it bowed its head and submission and allowed life to resume. And so just his word. That's the power of the word of Jesus Christ. Amen. He had great authority like no other. Amen. It said when he had by himself, everybody say by himself purged our sins. He did it himself because we could not do it for ourselves. How can you cleanse your sin? You can't. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, precious ears of the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fountain. Nothing but the blood. He purged us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. And when he cleanses you, your sins are gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you rise and you can walk in newness of life. Now, not only is he the one that does it, but he's the sacrifice that was required. Do you remember when Abraham was sacrificing Isaac, or he was ready to sacrifice Isaac? He had the knife and all the instruments were there, and the fire was there and the wood was there and the altar was there, and Isaac was already lying there, and he was bound and he was ready to take his life and offer him as a sacrifice. And suddenly there was a bleeding in the ram, and he went and found the ram, and Abraham said, God will supply him self a sacrifice. He didn't realize how literal that was. He didn't just provide a sacrifice, but he provided himself to be the sacrifice. He literally became the sacrifice. You see, that's what makes Jesus like no other. It wasn't a bearded father with a long white beard and long white hair turning around to his son and saying, I love this world so much, son. I want you to go there and there and down there and die for them. It wasn't what that was. No, it was God who was spirit and had no body. In fullness of time, taking upon himself and becoming a man like us. Amen. And then living and showing his glory and the power of his word through life. And then taking that one body that was his and that precious blood that God himself put into a human body that he lived in. And he went to Calvary and God himself shed his very own blood. That's why the book of Acts says that we are redeemed by the blood of God. It's the only blood that God ever had. Amen. He became himself our sacrifice. Amen. And delivered himself and became our Savior. Amen. And by that blood, he purged our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. It was costly. It cost him a lot to do that. That was God's final word. He said, you want to know how ugly sin is to God? Look at Calvary. You want to know how violent and ugly sin is to God? Look at the violence of Calvary. There was no more ugly sight that you can imagine than the pure and the perfect and the sinless Lamb of God in the hands of angry, violent, vile, cursing, filthy humanity with voices full of rage and faces twisted with hate and the ugliness and the bitterness boiling out of their own hearts, screaming in the face of their Creator and their God, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Amen. That's what Calvary represented. And that the beauty that He would hang from a cross, spittle running down His face, blood running down His back, amen, and down His face from the crown of thorns and from the places where they ripped hair from His head, all of the things that happened to Him. And there He hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That was the final word. That was the final word. Amen. And then saying, "It's finished. I've done what I came to do. Praise the Lord. Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then to hang His head and give up the ghost. That wasn't the end of the story, by the way. That's just what people could see. Amen. About the time He closed His eyes in death, He started banging on the gates of hell. Amen. And the Bible says He went and He took the keys away from Satan. Amen. Yes, He did. The Bible says that He preached 3 days in the belly of the earth. What was He preaching? He was triumphant. Amen. He was like a triumphant general walking through Hades, the abode of the dead, releasing the souls of the righteous.
Praise God.
Amen. We're getting ready to get up here, folks. Hallelujah. Speak in the face of death and hell, you're conquered. Amen. You no longer have power over the souls of men. He was a conquering, victorious general marching through Hades. Amen. And on the third day He resurrected with the gates, with the keys of death and hell in His hand. Praise God. Now, I realize that He's letting people sleep for a little while. But one of these days He's going to say, "All right, time to wake up." And He's going to turn around and He's going to say, "Hey, Gabe, blow that trumpet, son." Gabriel's going to put the trumpet to his lips and is going to sound a loud blast. And the Bible said suddenly from heaven, hallelujah, on a cloud, He's going to descend with a shout. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, in the air. And so shall we ever be with them. Amen. I'm talking about God's final word here, folks. This is it. If you're looking for something else, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. Amen. I just want you to know tonight that this is God's final word. Jesus is the final word. That's it. Amen. It can't get better. I mean, how can you beat what He's already done? What could be better than Him? Praise God. He's already done everything that He can possibly do. And it doesn't cost you anything but the surrendering of your will to the will of God. He empowers you. He gives you grace. Amen. It's all about Him. And it's all in Him, isn't it? Praise God. I like the scripture here where it talks about, and it said, and He sat down. Everybody say, "He sat down." And He sat down. What does that mean? Nothing else to do. It's done. It's finished. Amen. He sat down on the right hand of power. Amen. The right hand, the authority, the power, the righteousness. Amen. And the reason he sat down is because there's nothing to accomplish. He's done it all. He said it all. There's nothing more to say. There's nothing more to do. Amen. All you can do now is just receive him. Because it's all about him. Praise God. And how wonderful that you can actually receive the Spirit of God into your own life. And God can give you the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ can live in you. And he said if the Spirit that was in Christ dwells in your mortal body, it's going to give you life. It's going to quicken you. Glory. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight. Amen. He's the final word. You remember the scripture said he's the Alpha and the Omega. You know what Alpha is? It's the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. If we were writing that English, we'd say he's A to Z. Amen. He's the whole alphabet. And what is an alphabet? It's what you use to make words. Any word that you can speak tonight is made up of an alphabet. So Jesus is the whole thing. He's A to Z. Amen. Praise God. Everything that can be said, he said it. Everything that can be done, he's done it. Everything that can be good, he is. He's the final word. Praise God. Aren't you glad you know him tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song that said, the mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in him. Oh, the mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is he. The everlasting Father. He's the King eternally. He's the wonderful in wisdom by whom all things are made. The fullness of the Godhead in Jesus is displayed. And it's all in him. Yes, it's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in him. It is all in him. Yes, it's all in him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in him. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah, Lord of hosts. The omnipresent Spirit who fills the universe. He is the Advocate, the High Priest, the Lamb for sinners slain, the Author of redemption. Oh, glory to his name. It's all in him. It is all in him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in him. Yes, it's all in him. It is all in him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in him. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the living Word incarnate. He's the helpless sinner's friend. He's wisdom and our perfection. He's our righteousness and power. Yea, all we need in Jesus, we find this very hour, cause it's all in him. Yes, it's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in him. It is all in him. Yes, it's all in him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in him. It is all in him. Yes, it's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in him. It is all in him. Yes, it's all in him.
The mighty God is Jesus, and
it's all in him. Our God, for whom we've waited, will be the glad refrain of Israel recreated when Jesus comes again. Lo, he will come and save us, our King and Priest to be. For in him dwells all fullness, and Lord of all is he. Oh, it's all in him. Yes, it's all in him. The fullness. fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It is all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. It is all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It is all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. He is the final word tonight. Hallelujah. And when you've said Jesus, you've said it all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's it. Just look to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Jesus, I need You. I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord. I need Your Spirit in my life. I need Your power in my life.
Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It was just white as snow. And I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name, Jesus. Well, I